Hello, this is Paul Rubens, and you're listening to Geek World.
Hey, this is Laura Vandervoort, and you're listening to Geek World.
This is Adrian Pazda from Heroes on Geek World.
We're back. You're listening to Geek World on 92.5.
Sounds like Adrian Pazda's with Brian.
Yes.
They're off in a lost world.
A different time and a different recorder.
You're listening to Geek World on 92.5 KYHY. If you want to get in touch with us, send us an email to geekworldradio@yahoo.com. Check out our website at geekworldradio.com and follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/geekworldradio.
I got to say, got to put the echo on.
All right.
Because Geek World is now in its third hour.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, it's still on.
I begged, I pleaded, but nothing stopped it.
No, we kept you locked in here.
I asked them, don't do this to you people, but we're sorry.
I will not stop ever until you are dead.
Yeah.
Or until we're done with the show. So, you know, either way works. Yes, really. So, I think, we've been talking a lot about the SNL movies. Obviously, this is our SNL show since we saw MacGruber. And we've already talked about Wayne's World, a little bit about Coneheads. Should we go on to the next movie? And I think in a little bit,
let's get to the point where, do we have to?
Yes.
Want to discuss.
We're going to have to, yes. And a little later on, I have actually come up with a game for the two of you to play on air in a little bit. But we're not quite ready for that yet. So let's continue on with our discussion about the SNL movies. Now, what comes next? I believe it's Wayne's World 2, isn't it?
Well, both Wayne's World 2 and Coneheads did come out in 1993.
Yes.
So
let's talk about Wayne's World 2 for a second. We've already talked pretty much about the fact that, you know, it is the bigger, dumber sequel. When we say that, of course, Wayne's World 2 is still better than most of the SNL movies, but it's kind of, it's actually funny. Did you see Iron Man 2? Rebar?
Yes.
Okay. So, first off, what did you think about Iron Man 2?
Liked it.
Yeah.
Didn't love it.
And that's pretty much what everyone said. You know, everyone's saying the fact that, okay, listen, it's not The Dark Knight, but it's not as bad as Transformers 2.
Yeah.
It's just sort of like, it's kind of a bigger, dumber sequel, and it's fun, and it's, you know, and you enjoy it, but it doesn't really hold a candle to the original.
Yeah, of course.
And, you know, which is funny, because unfortunately, the superhero genre has become the place where sequels often are better than their original movie.
Sure, and the original movie has to get away with all the explaining of things.
Yeah, and it's kind of a unique genre, I think, in that way. I think the action genre sometimes lends itself to the same thing, or sometimes the exact opposite.
Well, that's kind of the irony of what the original Iron Man was. It was this great origin story that was a superior origin story to a lot of the previous superhero ones.
And so you're all wondering why I brought this up. Well, it's funny because on the last show when we talked about Iron Man 2, I couldn't actually come up with a movie where I wanted to say exactly what Iron Man 2 felt like sequel-wise to the first movie. And because, like I said, it's not really the same thing as Batman Against the Dark Knight it's not as bad as X2 to X3.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that Wayne's World to Wayne's World 2 is a lot like Iron Man to Iron Man 2.
Yeah,
it's like a lot of the same stuff and, you know, still a lot of the same stuff you like, but in the end, it just came off not nearly as good.
Yeah.
It didn't advance anything,
exactly.
But it didn't bring anything down.
Exactly. You didn't go like, wow, I hate these characters now or anything. It was just sort of like, okay, well, that's the end of this story.
Yeah, let's
like,
move on.
There's nowhere else they can go, you know? And, you know, I mean, the next movie would have been, you know, Wayne and Garth become yuppies.
Yeah.
And, you know, get a house in the suburbs and have kids, you know? I mean, that's really all they could have gone to at that point.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, I think that, you know, some of the stuff that did work was obviously just, you know, all the Wayne and Garth stuff, you know, it was just really funny. You know, the show stuff is always going to be funny. And Christopher Walken, you know, he's always good, and he's always going to play a good bad guy. And I got to say, though, watching it back...
And he got to dance.
Yes, he got to dance.
Get to dance, yeah.
I got to say, though, watching it back now, you know, after a few years have passed since when it came out, all I can think of with Christopher Walken there is cowbell.
Yeah.
I was, like, waiting for him to say cowbell, even though he said cowbell many years afterwards on SNL. I still wanted that to be, like, where the seed was planted. But no such luck.
No.
Of course, we got Tia Carrera back again, the totally excellent one. And... But also, you know, they added a few blonde bombshells to this one, actually, which I thought was pretty interesting. I think one of the people that they added was Heather Locklear.
Yeah.
Yes,
who, of course,
yes,
they, you know,
yes,
talked
yes,
about
yes.
in the first one, Schwing. And she got to be in the very beginning. And also Little Miss Kim Basinger, who, of course,
Wasn't she in the first one? Like, not
no.
with Lon?
No, she
no,
was
she
not.
Was not.
No.
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 Wait,
I think, wait, who was the girl?
You know, anime,
you're
you need to stop.
You're thinking of, I believe, Donna Dixon.
Whoa, I don't even know who that is.
Dan Aykroyd's wife.
Oh, there you go. Good times. Huh. Anyway.
She was in a lot of movies with Dan Aykroyd, too. She was in a lot of those 80s comedies.
Anime, while you go do your thing, whatever it is, Robert and I can reflect for a second on the greatness, which is Kim Basinger. Mm. First and foremost, all I got to say is 9.5 weeks. OMG. Not only was, Mickey Rourke not a monster in that movie quite yet, but also Kim Basinger might have been one of the hottest females of all time in that movie. And I think after that, she sort of just had a really decent career. And actually, I thought, her last kind of big movie, she was nominated for an Oscar, L.A. Confidential.
Yeah.
And, she actually had a pretty decent career for somebody who literally was mostly the hot chick.
Yeah. Yeah, she was. I think she's crazy, though.
Yes,
there's a bit of crazy that always makes you, wary and see. I'm one of those weirdos that actually finds crazy unattractive at times.
Oh, I love crazy.
I mean, yes, crazy in a sense is attractive because I'd like to punch you. but that's probably it, because I really want to, it's like, yeah, you're hot, but there's times where I just want to stop being crazy. Well, just stop. What would happen if you just stopped? What would happen?
But
I don't know.
The question is, can you be sane and marry Alec Baldwin?
Well,
and have children with Alec Baldwin?
There's a lot of crazy there.
I mean, Alec Baldwin might be the craziest of the Baldwin brothers, and that's saying a lot.
Have you
seen Stephen Baldwin in the last few years?
Jesus Baldwin, yes, yeah. I've seen him.
Crazy, crazy people.
You know what's funny about the Kim Basinger character in the second Wayne's World?
What's that?
She was the kind of crazy chick in it. But in the first one, there was Lara Flynn Boyle.
Yes, Lara Flynn Boyle.
As Stacy, doing something you don't usually see Lara Flynn Boyle doing. Like being really, bizarre.
That Stacy character is almost like a kind of a precursor to the superstar, to Mary Catherine Gallagher.
A little bit, yeah.
She's sort of crazy and obsessive and runs into things a lot.
Yeah,
is really
clumsy.
Not the same kind of thing, but, but yeah, I agree with you. She definitely played that part, and she was totally the sexy bombshell. And along with that, very, very hot Drew Barrymore was also in that movie for a cameo.
Oh, yes.
Playing the Swedish secretary.
That was back when she was crazy, too.
She was so hot back then. And you know what I mentioned? Anime didn't know what I was talking about. You're going to know what I'm talking about. Remember Bad Girls?
I do remember Bad Girls.
Oh, yeah. Cowboy ladies.
Yes.
Cow ladies.
I actually have to say the only thing that sometimes is more frightening than crazy people are reformed crazies.
Yes.
Yeah. And I look at Drew Barrymore and I kind of have to remind myself that she was once crazy, and that crazy is still there.
But you have to...
But it was so suppressed.
The thing is, there's a certain amount of leeway that you give somebody like Drew Barrymore, who, besides the fact that she was a child actor, she's also, from lineage in Hollywood. And Hollywood lineage, in itself gives you a bit of crazy leeway where you don't really have a choice but to end up crazy.
Actually, let's talk about this for a second.
She's actually quite impressive for not
that
totally
was back
being...
in the days where she was still considered crazy and verboten, I think.
Yeah.
Poison Ivy days.
Let's talk about this for a second, because I want to hear Rybar's idea about this, because, Rybar, you grew up in the L.A. area. And what I want to ask is
one of the few.
I think one of the really interesting things to me is that I go on the blogs and I see people talk about Lindsay Lohan all the time, and I'm not going to get into her whole thing. But what I want to say is, we're in a culture now that enjoys hating on her. She's sort of like the person at the stockade. And I think what's really funny is the fact that I give her more leeway than anyone else, because I think there's certain child actors that never had a chance, and I think that. I give them a little more, I feel pity for them more than the kind of the anger and sort of the bile that people spit at them. I think Lindsay Lohan's one of these people. I feel like she's very much, though she's made mistakes, she never had a chance. I mean, she was a child actor ever since she could walk, and her parents are crazy, and so it wasn't going to end up okay.
Yeah, the main thing is the crazy, horrible individuals.
But
Drew Barrymore, same thing.
Drew Barrymore comes from a lineage you had said before, of actors. She never had a chance. She was going to be an actress no matter what.
She was also clubbing with druggies when she was six.
Yeah. Look at Misha Barton. Same thing. She didn't have a chance. She was a child actor. There's all these people now who a lot of people are they make fun of, and they're like, oh, why can't they get their life together? But people don't get the concept of the fact that once you're born, as you're learning to be a person, someone's basically putting the yoke on you of having to support the family or having to be, you know, this person. You don't even get to know who you are. You don't get the chance.
Well, some of them do make it out, though. They don't always go that way.
That's the thing. And the problem is, I think sometimes the positive ones, you know, people, why can't you be, Ron Howard? Why can't you be Kurt Russell? Why can't you be Christian Bale?
Why can't you be Ron Howard?
You know, Christian Bale was doing perfectly great until that Tool leaked that, you know, thing on Terminator Salvation, which, by the way, I still completely support Christian Bale.
I know, yeah. We're totally
blame that on Mick G. 100% on Mick G. But, but anyway, enough of that. I think that, you know, that's kind of a thing. I always give more leeway to children actors because I feel like it's sort of like childhood trauma.
I think it's not necessarily child actor as much as it is child celebrity.
Yeah.
You know, Ron child Howard was a child actor, but, you know, it wasn't like the world was clamoring over Ron Howard.
Yeah.
I mean, it was
you're right.
Christian
the Fonz
Bale.
Was the Fonz from that show was the guy everyone was clamoring over anyway.
You know, I mean,
like,
it was like, you know, Leave It to Beaver. Well, everybody was clamoring over Beaver.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, you know, he was a celebrity at that time. And you know, so that's kind of, those are, I mean, yeah, there's pampering and all that stuff, but in terms of attention, you know, you can kind of, I mean, Ron Howard grew up in a very professional family.
Very much, yeah.
And,
yeah.
And they sort of, I guess, taught him to appreciate it as for the job that it was.
And Ron Howard was also smart enough to, you know, get into directing as quickly as he could.
Yeah, I think he figured that was what he really wanted to do with his life and moved into it. I mean, he didn't really do any more acting at that
point. No, and he really evolved because I think he realized there was limitations to what he could do. And I think that, you know, as an artist, he, you know, I mean, Ron Howard, the director, will go down as much more important than Ron Howard, the actor.
Sure.
I also feel like there are certain people that Andy Griffith, I kind of feel like maybe he helped to lead Ron Howard in the positive direction. Do you know what I mean? Because, like,
you could say, but his family was established. Well-known, and they kept him on.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And his brother.
Yes, Clint Howard rules, by the way. You know, I got to say, do you remember, there was an MTV Movie Awards, you know how they give out Lifetime Achievement Awards?
And they gave
and
one
he
to
gave
him.
One to him, and it was usually those awards are a joke, you know, they give it to, like, Jason or Godzilla, and that was the first time where it was really kind of sweet and sincere, and he was, like, really, really proud to have won it, and everyone was sort of like, wow, we can't really make fun of him, because that's just mean-spirited.
Yeah, well, and it kind of left everybody with the, I love Clint Howard.
Well, it's great. And you know, come on, my favorite Clint Howard role has to be in The Wraith, where Charlie Sheen plays a car out for revenge.
That's my favorite is when he was a creepy space baby in Star Trek.
In the original series. Oh, he's good.
He was a creepy child.
Yes,
he was like as creepy an adult as he is. I think he may have been a creepier child.
Yeah, well, you know. These things happen.
Be the ice cream man.
Yes, ice cream. Yeah, exactly. You scream, ice cream, exactly. But
let's get back to SNL.
Yeah, but back to Wayne's World 2. You know, I think the main thing about Wayne's World 2 was the fact that it was good. You got the same stuff, but like we said, it was the same jokes. You know, instead of
plot and same jokes.
Yeah, I mean, I can't.
Wait
remember.
A minute. Are you saying that Mike Myers likes to recycle his jokes to the point where they're no longer funny?
Yeah,
and lead them on just a little too long.
It's interesting the perspective you get now after Mike Myers is done, you know, after Wayne's World, after Austin Powers, after The Love Guru, after Shrek, the perspective you sort of get now on his comedy. Because at the time, you know, Wayne's World, you know, is a very different movie for the time. It was sort of like, you know, Beavis and Butthead looked dumb, but it was actually a smart show. That's sort of like what Wayne's World was. It, at first, you know, from the outset, it looked sort of like it was this cheesy kind of slacker thing. And it comes off as a very sort of sophisticated movie in many ways, and it's very smart, and everything advances too. There's nothing extra in the movie. Like, everything leads to something else, and it isn't just sort of, you know, a naked Indian walking around for no apparent reason, like in, you know, Wayne's World 2, which, you know, there was a reason, but really, did we need to see, like, that dude's ass, like, 15 times in the movie? Like, that's what it became. The movie became, our big joke is this guy's butt.
Yeah.
Like, that's what the big joke was all through the movie, and I was just like, wow, really? And, like, to go from something so great to something just sort of mediocre was kind of a bummer.
Yeah,
to be perfectly honest.
Yeah. Well, I mean it.
Well, Mike Myers, when he obviously has his A material, but his B material, he starts to go to the toilet.
The thing about Mike Myers is that he's really good at doing things like voices. He's really good at being a character and getting really into that character.
His thing
but
is going
needs,
one step too far.
But the thing is, that's exactly what I was going to say. What he really needs is somebody like he needs a Dan Aykroyd to be the the one who wrote the movie. You know what I mean? He needs somebody else to write the movie for him, for him to not have that opportunity to go too far.
So. Yeah, I mean, he kind of takes that, you know, said, just going on just a little too long. It's the characters mm-hmm. are a little too strange, which is the one, I guess, the reason why Wayne's World worked, because his character was not over the top.
Yeah. Yeah, Garth was a little more over the top than Wayne, but neither of them were severely over the top.
No.
Yeah. And, you know, overall, I thought, you know, it was fun, but it was just sort of a shame, to be perfectly honest, compared to the first one and how good it was. But
even the sword fight couldn't save it.
Yeah, and it's, you know, that's the thing. You know, there were these little moments here, you know, like she was fighting David Lopez pan over there, and there's a few moments that were really sort of like, oh, haha, that's fun. And, you know, I almost actually considered putting for the genre instead of the big dumb sequel the martial arts movie, because they did have that little part with martial arts. But you know, the most important thing is that Wayne's World is just fantastic. Like, the original is just totally, totally great. So what's up next? I don't want to you know, bag on it. Okay. Like you said, compared to the next ones we're going to come up with, it's pretty darn good.
So in 1994 the horror that is its past.
No, really? Are we there already? Oh,
yeah,
God.
We already went through Coneheads and both Wayne's Worlds and Bloom, but Blues Brothers.
You know, let me say this. I actually have a very good memory for things, but I do write some notes here and there, and I gotta say, the amount of notes I wrote for Pat is twice as long as anything else. This movie was a living nightmare. Actually, I have actually come up, this movie, I gotta say, you know, sometimes the worst things can kind of inspire you to you know, make new things, and I think that I've actually made a completely new category for films, and I already have now two movies in that category. This is very specific. It's very difficult to get into this category. And that category is In Living Hell. When you watch this movie, the experience of watching it is like you're in hell.
Well, it's
and you can't get out.
It's the kind of movie that if we weren't watching it for the show, we would have actually turned it off. And we're the kind of people that don't really turn off movies. We'll generally force ourselves to sit through
them. I'm sitting watching this, and I realize that if I was in a movie theater, by the 15-minute mark, half the audience would have walked out already. They would have completely walked out.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Like, well, that totally happened. That's why the film did not get a release.
Yes, it is.
Oh, it did, but it got pulled immediately.
They
released it and pulled it.
I gotta say, you know, Julia Sweeney, you've done some good stuff here and there, but like I don't know. If you're going to make it to the pearly gates because of its Pat,
well, it's
difficult.
It's like I said before, really felt the need to do it, if they really, really felt the need that this character needed a movie, then they should have gone with the crazy neighbor, because the scenes with the crazy neighbor and his crazy Pat doll and dressing up as Pat and being totally out of his mind, or even Pat on the radio being obnoxious to everyone, worked better than any other part of the movie, but you don't even get into that until more than halfway through.
Pat falls victim.
They barely show up at all.
Yeah, well, Pat, I think the problem sometimes, and I guess it can go one way or the other, is that some of these are essentially, they are 90-minute sketches, whereas others are sort of explorations of the character.
Yes,
Wayne's World, you never had a real Wayne's World sketch. Wayne's World was a little show within a show. That was the sketch.
Luckily,
you never got to see Wayne and Garth on the outside until you saw the movie.
The great thing, though, about the sketch was that there were multiple things they did. Their little show had multiple segments, so even within the sketch, it wasn't like the Night at the Roxbury guys, where their whole thing is shaking their head weird and then essentially date-raping girls on the dance floor.
But on the same token, Coneheads was a sketch where there was always the narrative. It was always about them, and you know, and so much in the same way of Pat. Pat was always that one single joke,
that
even as
it.
A sketch. Mm-hmm. It was that one joke, and they managed to repeat that joke for. Well, what was almost 90 minutes.
I have two things to say about
78 minutes
of hell. I have two things to say about that. The first thing is, like, remember we were talking about Elf before? There's one episode of Elf I always remember where Elf, like, had a really funny joke, and then he fantasized that he was a big star in Melmac as a comedian, and he kept on, like, filling up auditoriums, but he only had one joke to tell. And after a while, like, no one was laughing anymore. He couldn't understand why it wasn't funny. It's Pat.
Yeah,
that is what happens in that movie. And furthermore, I think the other really interesting thing I noticed from a lot of these SNL movies, and it's actually really fun to watch them all together, you guys should actually try it at some point, is that there's a big, the big sort of difference between a lot of them is that some of them start off the movie as kind of the sketch, and then they move into into what else they would be doing, and then others kind of wait for the sketch till the end.
Yeah,
I think that Wayne's World started off, you know, kind of as the sketch. Night of the Roxbury certainly started off as the sketch.
Yeah.
But I would say like MacGruber didn't do what the sketch is until the end. Like
it
the whole like the bomb's going
to
go off.
Absolutely
thing.
Didn't need to either.
Yeah, and I would say with It's Pat, I would. Oh, and also in Superstar, they sort of did what the sketch was in the beginning also, but I thought they did it in a much funnier way than they ever done it on the show. But then you get to It's Pat, where, like we said, the entire movie is the sketch, and it's the same joke. It's like, is that a banana in your pocket?
Well,
yes,
and
it
that's,
is.
And that's the thing. It wasn't a different take on the sketch. It wasn't, you know, different jokes. They actually recycled the jokes from the sketch and put them into the movie. Like, they didn't even come up with new ones.
Yeah, and, you know, I just think, I mean, from the beginning, I almost threw up in the beginning. The whole beginning is Pat being created in his she's mother's womb, and then going through the birth canal, and then the camera is like it's Pat is baby Pat, and the doctor's like, oh look, you have a baby, and the mom's like, well, is it a male or female? And he goes, I don't have time. Look out, check for yourself. And he gives the mom the baby. She looks and she goes, oh, it's Pat, and that's how the movie starts. That's how it starts.
It's about how they can hide whatever Pat is, and how they can get away with it, and it just sort of becomes quickly becomes unfunny, and then of course. Like you said, there's a whole other 77 minutes to deal with.
I had a whole new appreciation for the Lost finale, because I was like, oh, wow, yeah, it's like, it's Pat. You never really find out, do you? It's just sort of a mystery that goes on forever.
Yeah, see, you're not going to find out anything about Pat, so you should be happy.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, though. Like, if the character they had focused on was the crazy neighbor, rather than focusing on Pat, and the theory of what is Pat was the driving force of this guy, that could have made for at least a more interesting movie.
Yeah, I gotta say,
but still, there was a bad idea to ever decide that Pat needed a movie.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And I gotta say, and also, of course, it would have never been made if all the other good ones hadn't happened first. Mm-hmm. You know, I gotta say, we watch the CSIs and we've watched even Quincy, and so we see a lot of murder shows and How to Get Away with a Murder. And I really think that if you want to get away with a murder, and especially make it look like a suicide, just lock someone in a room with It's Pat on a loop. They will kill themselves.
Yeah,
they will kill themselves. Rather than sit there and watch that movie.
I'm surprised we didn't just like spontaneously die.
I actually was looking around. About 15 minutes in, I was looking around for razors. I wondered maybe if I'd cut my wrists. I swear, I am not joking. This movie is actually more painful to watch than Twilight. And Twilight is one of the worst movies ever made. Twilight, by the way, is the second movie in Living Hell category. I only have two, so Rybar, if you'd like to add some at some point. But
I can think of some.
Remember, it's like stomach cancer bad. It's like, you know, it's actually painful to watch, and you're asking yourself, like, I must be the biggest, like, masochist ever for watching this movie. That's what this movie is.
Scanner Darkly's like that. We had to watch that in pieces.
Yeah, but
we
at least Scanner Darkly
watch that in a whole chunk.
At least Scanner Darkly, you know, it was the first time I had seen him do the rotoscoping in a way that made sense.
Yeah.
When he did, like, Waking Life,
sometimes.
I was like, wow, this makes no sense at all. But at least in Scanner Darkly, there was some stuff that kind of, you know, came across visually well because of the rotoscoping.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, it was based on Philip K. Dick book.
Torture
so.
To watch.
Well, is more painful, though, than a comedy that is not funny.
Yes, true. I agree. I 100% agree.
And,
Dana Carvey can tell you that. Did you see Master of Disguise?
Yes. Oh, wow.
Yeah. I didn't even see it, so I just know how bad
cable.
It is.
It is bad.
So, do you have more to say about It's Pat?
Unfortunately, I have a lot more to say about It's Pat. First off, there's actually one of the things anime said while watching it, which I think actually is probably the best point about why this movie isn't the complete antichrist, is the fact that, you know, it was actually a showcase for a few female comedians, when there isn't a lot of showcase for female comedians.
But it didn't actually get to showcase them doing anything.
Yes.
It's just, like, the extra people in it were people
then
like Kathy Griffin or Kathy Najimy.
It was almost like...
Well, I thought that was the thing. I actually said that in the beginning as they were going through Pat's different, like, people, different people Pat interacted with, and I was like, like, oh, look at this. It's all these different female comedians. Oh, this could be interesting. It's going to be a showcase for these women. And it wasn't.
It was almost counteractive. It was almost like, you know, look at Sarah Palin. It's like, hey, look, a female was almost vice president, but look at her.
Yeah.
Like, this is the worst possible choice. And so, you know, we get Kathy Griffin, who was actually playing Kathy Griffin at the time, who oddly was kind of a little cute back then. Just a little bit. I can't believe I said that, but there you go.
That's weird.
I've been to her house before. Do you know that? I used to be a runner for a TV show, and I've been to her house before. It's actually very nice, so good for her. Next is Kathy Najimy, who I've also met, by the way, and she was also in it.
We have a picture on the website of
Yes, we saw her at, Wizard World.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get Dave Foley, of course, from Kids in the Hall. We also noticed there's quite a few Kids in the Hall in these SNL movies, mm-hmm. of course, because Lorne Michaels was producer on Kids in the Hall.
Kids in the Hall, SCTV, and Mad TV people showed up in numerous ones.
Now, I'm going to say this, and a lot of people are going to disagree with me, but this is one of the great things about opinions, is the fact that for me, growing up, I think that I definitely appreciate Kids in the Hall more than SNL.
Yes.
I loved SNL, but Kids in the Hall was so bizarre and so out there, and I think the main thing about Kids in the Hall that I loved that the SNL didn't quite have as much is that Kids in the Hall, it doesn't matter. It's not topical. They never talk about politics. They never really talk about anything that has to do with current events. Everything is just funny kind of on their own and kind of the bizarre circumstances that come up with. Where SNL, a lot of the humor comes from kind of more current events and kind of what's going on, which is important because that's what the show's about. But, you know, sometimes you watch it and stuff just goes over your head if you're watching, like, stuff in the 70s.
Yeah.
Especially Weekend Update or whatever, because you're like, wow, you know, it's a Cuomo joke. I don't even know what they're talking about. But you know, I love Kids in the Hall. It was one of my favorite shows as a kid, and it's crazy. And luckily, you know, or unluckily, a bunch of the guys are in here, and Dave Foley is in this as Pat's... love, I guess.
Yeah, Pat's lover, Chris.
Yeah.
Pat's ambiguous lover, Chris.
Do you know who Arlene Sorkin is?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
She was, yeah.
And she was also in this. And how do we know her mostly?
Well, this is actually the one saving grace of the movie for me. And it's not really saving grace, but it's, you know, the only part of the movie that I actually got enjoyed. Arlene Sorkin was in it. And Arlene Sorkin is actually who Harley Quinn was modeled after and made for.
Yeah.
Harley Quinn is the character from Batman who is the Joker's girlfriend who showed up for the first time in Batman the Animated Series and was literally a character created specifically for and developed around Arlene Sorkin.
Yeah.
So this was the first time I ever got to see her and realize that she was also kind of the what Harley Quinn, the look was based on. And the just hearing her voice, like, actually talking is just great.
Everything about her look and her facial expressions and her voice is totally Harley Quinn. You can totally see Paul Dini, who was one of the writers for Batman the Animated Series, was a friend of hers and created the character for her.
Like, I mean, Harleen, Dr. Harleen Quinzel.
Yeah.
Arlene Sorkin.
Other than that, you know, we got Tim Meadows, who was also kind of a big staple in most of these movies. He showed up in a lot of, especially a lot of the later ones.
Yes.
And you know what? You know who else was in there really quick? Mitch Pileggi.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Mr. Mitch Pileggi was one of the security guards.
Yeah.
So that was kind of awesome. And he shows up a lot in everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he freaking rules, so why wouldn't he? And, you know, I think one of my notes pretty 15 minutes in is this is an absolute nightmare.
Yeah.
I want to see it.
First off, I don't even think you could read my notes.
I don't care. I want to
see
the
progression of things here. Oh, wow. Oh, my God.
Do you ever see the cartoon?
Right.
Do you ever see the cartoon? I mean, and keep in mind, I'm also watching while I'm writing. Do you ever see the, it's sort of like that
this
show,
Duck.
This
is an absolute nightmare.
Yeah, yeah. I even
there
wrote that
it
down.
Is.
Yeah, yeah.
If there's nothing else, though, that you have to say about Pat, I think we're going to have to go.
I do want to say one more thing. Rybar, can I get my notes back for a second?
No.
There was one more thing I wanted to say about it, but I can't remember off the top of my head, so gimme.
Yeah.
Oh, man. See, look at your closing. I got to find it. Anime, just say something really quick.
It's Pat is absolute torture, and the band Ween was in it, which in itself was kind of torture.
Okay, listen, the low point of this movie... Was that
we were watching it?
The low point of this movie. This is actually the lowest point. You want to hear one of the best jokes of the movie?
Yes.
Pat looks up androgynous in the dictionary, and there's a picture of Pat in the dictionary. There's a picture of Pat in the dictionary.
You know what, Dave?
That was the joke.
You know what, Dave?
That was a joke.
Dave. You know what?
Sesame Street would have done that joke.
Dave.
So wait a minute.
Dave.
If Pat is androgynous, then we have our answer.
Dave.
What?
Dave. an androgyne has come between
us.
Yes,
exactly. Yes, yes. Yeah, I mean, yeah, honestly, yeah. This movie is is beyond painful on all realms, really. I would never recommend you doing this. And the worst part is, you ever know some of the worst movies actually have kind of quotes about, like, bad movies?
Yeah.
Like, I always think of Swordfish. You know, John Travolta's character is talking about, you know, all the cliches in movies. And, you know, of course, Swordfish, you know, takes them all and goes beyond. And it's sort of like, wow, are you just telling us from the front that this is going to be a terrible movie?
Kind of.
But when the Dave Foley and, you know, and the Julia Sweeney character are first getting together and it's Pat, you know, Dave Foley says, you know what I hate? Bad, boring movies. And I got to say, like, I perfectly agree with him because that's all I could think about while I was watching that movie.
Yeah.
So never see It's Pat. Just skip it. Just skip it. Unless you want to die.
Okay, well, we'll be back with you in just a moment.
This is Allison Mack from Smallville, and you're listening to Geek World.
Hey, this is the geek, David Arquette. What's up, all you geeks out there? You're listening to Geek World.
We're back. You're listening to Geek World on 92.5 KYHY. We are your superhero, superhost, anime, and Dave bringing you the best in the world of geek. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email to geekworldradio@yahoo.com. Check our website at geekworldradio.com and follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/geekworldradio. Would you look at that? See, we've got 3 hours now, so I can say things slower.
So awesome. Okay, so before we finish off talking about SNL, I have a little game I've prepared for both anime and Darkubus Rybar. And so this is a game that it's a full competition, so basically, here's the rules. Okay, first off, this is what the game is. Okay, it is. Keep in mind some of the stuff's off the top of my head, so some of it is varying in degrees of not only difficulty, but you know, just kind of common sense. But this is. In tribute to MacGruber, and you know how at the end of MacGruber he just explodes, and that's sort of the punchline. This is a game of outrageous deaths in movies, and basically I am going to say what happens, and for 1 point you should you can get 1 point for answering the movie, and another point for answering who the actor or actress was.
Do we have to wait till you're done? Like if we figure out earlier, should we shout it out?
You should shout it out whenever you think you know it.
Okay.
You know, any order you want, but you should say both the name of the movie and the name of the actor or actress.
Can we get a half point for the name of the character?
No.
Oh, darn. Hmm.
Okay, yes. Okay, you know what? Actually, there's two questions. I don't even know the actor's name, so you're going to have to give the character.
Yeah, I think it's just the movie.
So, let's do that. Okay, but anyway, so yes,
Prime.
You get a half a point. Check it out. You get a half a point if you name the character. That's fine.
Okay. Oh, we just get an extra point if we name it.
Okay, an extra point. Okay. Anyway. Whatever.
Some game you've designed here. I didn't mean that's one question.
This is
yet.
Like
you don't even know the rules to your own
this
game.
This is like whose line is it anyway? I just give out as many points as I feel like it.
Okay,
this is the first one. Ready? This one. This one's a little difficult, but this is what happens to the character. You ready?
Yes.
Steel pole impaled through face. In this movie, this character, steel pole went through their face.
Oh wait, that's not a steel pole.
And that's what killed them.
Okay, and he didn't die. Yeah.
Wow, really? The first one? You guys don't have it, huh?
You said it was difficult.
Yes.
Yeah,
this is actually a hard one, yeah.
I mean, there's been a lot of movies where I've seen poles going.
Okay, well, this one, I'll give you a hint. This one is it's a female, and it's probably the best moment of the film. And I'll give you one more hint since you guys are clearly helpless. It's a horror movie.
See, you don't want to do those...
Is this the Paris Hilton in House of Wax one?
Yes.
I never saw it, but I know that...
2 points awarded to anime. Boosh.
Yeah, I've never saw it. I've never seen it. I had no idea. But,
I think that you should probably like try from like regular movies, not like horror movies, because there's
talking
a
about?
Lot of similar deaths in horror movies that are very extreme.
That's awesome. That's great. You know what? This is a game I came up with, and I think I decided that was awesome. So there you go. Anime gets 2 points, and don't be a sore loser.
I'm not a sore loser. I'm just speaking fact.
Okay. That's true. You are speaking fact. But anime has now taken away 2 points. So.
Yeah, and like the last game, I will get the first 2 points, and you will probably get the rest.
You guys, this one actually I think will be a little easier, so I'm waiting to find out who gets this one first. You ready?
Yes.
Eaten by a shark during a big speech.
Oh, well, that's Samuel L. Jackson in Deep Blue Sea.
Yeah.
Okay, well...
Deepest, bluest, my head is like a shark's.
Now, I don't know, because you both said it sort of at the same time. You actually said Samuel L. Jackson first, but you said Deep Blue Sea first.
That's because we both knew it, and you just have to accept the fact that we both knew it.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that we've even, like, watched parts of that together.
We may have.
Yeah. I guess then no points are awarded to anybody. Okay, so...
And you know what? I've seen a lot of movies where people are eaten by sharks, so...
But not necessarily in the middle of a big speech.
Yeah.
True.
Man. Trying to mess with the social order here. Jeez.
Sorry.
Okay, so this one I think you guys will get, too. Ready for this? Cryogenically frozen and then shattered.
That would be...
T2.
Well, not cryogenically. Yeah,
the character didn't die when it was frozen. These characters die.
That's right.
Would that be Wesley Snipes?
Oh yeah. And what's the movie?
Yeah, Demolition Man.
Hell yeah! Rybar is on the board, big time. Good work. Oh man, this is heated one.
Yeah, that is
how
it ends, isn't it?
Hell to the yeah!
Now, I love that movie, but
like I said, there's a couple movies where people are frozen and then shattered.
Yeah, but do they die?
Well, some of them.
Hey,
semantics.
I'm sorry.
Semantics.
But, no, not really. There's a big difference because he doesn't die in T2, so it doesn't count. Okay, the next one. This one is kind of interesting, and I think you'll both get it pretty quickly. This one is Steak in the Heart, but takes a very long time to die.
Paul Rubens in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, anime. Woo.
Again.
Anime is hardcore.
I gotta say, though, on that one, there's a few, because the whole point was that Paul Rubens was playing off the fact that that's what they used to do in all those vampire movies, that all the vampires would, you'd think they were staked, and then, like, they'd come back in the next scene still dying.
Guess what? You're a sore winner now. Okay,
but
so next,
at least mine all had definitive answers.
Mine I did off the top of my head, so I don't care what you think, because I think it's brilliant.
Keep going.
Okay, next one is Decapitated by a Subway Train.
That would be
Mr.
Dennis
Smith
Hopper.
In the in oh
in
not a but not by a subway
well,
train.
Well, I actually said it was
yeah,
speed.
Well,
yes, exactly. Wow, Rybar, you were picking it up. Yeah.
Oh, Mr. Smith and Die, right?
Like, yes. Oh my God, it's tied right now. This is good. This is really good.
Oh yeah.
Again, all right. These are not the deaths I
so
was hoping for.
This one. Oh, shut up. I had to come up on top of my head. Anyway, next one.
Clearly, there's not much up there. You
next,
dig a little deeper.
All right, here we go. This one's a little deeper. Flew FT.
What?
Flew an F-15 into an alien spacecraft plasma cannon.
That would be Randy Quaid in
Independence Day.
Yes, all right.
Hey, well, I get the movie.
Yes, I don't know, actually, because
I can
first.
Also even add an extra point to a point
first.
On it.
He said Randy Quaid first.
He actually did it in his biplane first.
Oh.
And it was reshot.
Oh, man, I don't even know how to do the points on this one. You each get 1 point for that one. Okay. You guys are still
this fine. Is why we need buzzers.
Yeah, exactly.
Just because you hear something first doesn't mean that was, you know.
Yeah, that one's kind of difficult. Yeah, anime, you know, you should have let him answer once he said that. That's kind of messed up. You know what? I'd take a point away from anime.
Whatever. Just because I'm bad with names, I always forget a name.
Rybar is now 2 points ahead.
This is a
well, you know
game.
What, Dave? I'm actually giving Rybar most of your points from that other game.
Well, it's too bad, because it's already been... That game's already
Rybar
over.
Is kicking butt.
Hey, that game's already over. No takesy-backsies. Okay, next. This one, I don't even know the name of the actor, so all you need to come up with
Shows
is...
What you know.
This is what you now guys need to come up with, because no one knows who the actor is. You need to come up with the movie and the name of the character.
What if we can come up with the actor?
Then you would be way more awesome than me, because I have no clue who it is.
Rock on.
Okay, so Chainsaw in the Crotch.
What?
Chainsaw in the Crotch.
Again,
Well, if you can come up with another one that's not the one I have, then you still get points.
I mean, I remember there was a chainsaw... Well, there's... I think they made a couple movies where people get a lot of chainsaw deaths.
But in the crotch. Very specific.
I vaguely remember something along these lines, but I can't quite...
Anime looks completely perplexed.
I think if you were to somehow drop a hint...
But is it like an Army of Darkness thing, an Evil Dead thing?
Nope.
Or?
Nope. This is not with the main character with a chainsaw. This is just a person who got a chainsaw in the crotch.
There was a chainsaw in Scarface, but not in the crotch.
Okay, well, I guess neither one of you get it.
Well,
were there chainsaws in Dot Snow?
No, there are no chainsaws. I wouldn't put Dot Snow on there.
I give up.
Guys, both give up, huh?
I didn't say I gave up. I'm just saying that I don't know it and I never will, but I'm not saying I give up. So, okay. You know, we got 3 hours well, neither to kill one of you guys, I won't give up.
Neither one of you guys get this one, so that's okay, because this one's really tough. The movie is Running Man.
Yes!
The character is Buzzsaw.
Yeah, I do remember.
So
yes.
Neither one of you got this. So this one's a totally
easy
one.
Yes, and he sang in a higher key.
He sang a lot. Exactly.
Yeah, and now, if you were to say that he sang in a higher key,
yes,
I would have known.
That's
this.
True. Yes. Mm-hmm.
But again, you have to make the death. Why the death is interesting?
You know what? I'm like the makers
people
of
get
Lost.
Chainsawed in movies before.
Dude. Yeah.
What
yeah.
makes the death
in the crotch?
Interesting?
In the
yes,
crotch?
That's
in
the thing. That's the thing. They get chainsawed all over the place.
Yeah exactly.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah. You guys are the worst, okay? The guy got chainsawed in the crotch and he died. Therefore, it's...
Yeah, but
it's
I don't think there's ever been a movie where someone's been chainsawed in the crotch and lived.
You've got to be able to bring
if you
up
guys,
deaths
if
that
you guys,
are somewhat unique
yeah.
in there.
Oh, please. Okay,
you know,
other,
a man gets covered in toxic sludge and then hit by a car.
Name me another movie where a guy gets chainsawed in the crotch.
No, Dave, name me the actor from your movie. You can't even name you the actor of what you're talking about, which in its own shows that it's...
Yes.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
What?
It's not even a
whatever.
Good
whatever. He's not going. Even a real actor. No, he was just some fat guy who sang. What do you want from me?
You know what?
You
keep
guys
going.
Are terrible
keep,
at this
keep
game.
Keep going.
All right. Next one. This one's actually really easy, so you guys should be able to get this. Nuclear explosion while on an asteroid.
Bruce Willis?
Bruce Willis, yeah. In Armageddon?
Yeah.
I mean...
Okay. Hey, like I said, I got this until my head. Shut up. All right, so do you guys not want to play anymore?
No, keep going. Just keep
you know, the
keep
game
going.
Here I thought was extreme movie deaths, and you're giving me, like you know,
yeah, they're not
normal,
really.
You know, chopped in half by a lightsaber.
Yeah.
Come on.
Okay.
Give me something.
Okay. Crushed by a machine press.
There's been a few of those.
Yeah.
Okay, name one. I love you guys. There's been a few of those.
I
couldn't answer.
Well, that's the thing. It's like I'm picturing
I'm not,
it happening in a few things,
I mean,
and I can't
figure
out what
seen
they
a couple
are.
Meat Locker movies.
I don't get your critique. I'm not saying shot in an
or
alley.
By a machine press.
I mean, come on. What do you want from me?
Yeah,
that's
I don't
number
know.
Nine.
This one's actually pretty easy. Crushed by a machine press.
I don't know.
Well, it's obviously the machine press that makes it, because I've seen people crush.
So many people have been doing this. I just couldn't actually possibly answer one of them. Rabar, not even you.
Yeah, I don't know.
Rabar. I know it, crushed by a machine press.
Yeah.
You're going to have to give me another hint.
Okay, this is an action movie from the 80s.
Wow.
An action movie from the 80s. You know, when I think crushed, I think Lethal Weapon 2 has a pretty cool crushing, but I don't think this is... Yeah, it's not a machine press.
Yeah. Okay, I'll give you guys another hint. This is how they kill the monster.
It's a monster that dies?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Well, you see, now, again, a monster.
Right?
Crushed a monster in a machine press.
Yeah. Do you guys want me to just, like, completely tell you what kind of monster it is? You guys just want to... Like, you guys would be the worst contestant
ever. It's obviously that would
ever.
Give it away.
Yes, yes. Well, I award neither one of you points.
Well, all of this silence us having no freaking clue.
I guess you're just
going
to have to do it, because it's obvious. I know the answer when you will say it.
Yes.
It'll be very obvious.
Okay, so neither one of you gets point. It is Arnold in The Terminator.
Is that...
Okay, you know...
I don't...
What? You got crushed by a machine press.
Leaving.
You're
leaving.
Not leaving.
I'm leaving.
There's one more left. There's one more left.
No, I refuse to answer it now. I refuse to... This is a horrible game.
You're a horrible game.
No, it's actually a very good game.
Thank you.
But you're just doing it horribly.
That's true.
I will say one again. Man gets covered in toxic sludge and then hit by a car.
That one was good. That's RoboCop.
See?
Yes.
Now that's an extreme movie death. I never saw anybody go out like that.
You know what?
And then come out
with 10.
See, but the thing is...
All right, I will. I'll just...
Okay. Do it.
See, Rybar wins that one because like, he didn't just say, guy covered in something gets hit by car. It's guy covered in whatever sludge gets hit by...
Yeah.
Yeah. There was all the details in there that made it unique. That made it specific. And that was why you were able to know exactly what it was. And
Thank
it was
you.
Special.
I'm sorry that this game's too hard for you guys. But I'll give you this is the last one. This one's very tough. And if anyone can just name this movie, because I don't know the actors. If you can name this movie, you win. Vaporized by a semi-truck.
Vaporized by a semi-truck.
Yes.
Those are two things I didn't...
Yes.
Would that be those two ghosts in the Matrix sequel?
No, they were not vaporized.
They were when that truck flipped on top of them.
This
and they
is a
vaporized
human being
into...
who, when a truck hit them...
How am I supposed to know it's a human being? You've been doing monsters randomly and
how
other things.
A human being at vaporized?
Yeah. Hey,
that's what I'm saying.
I don't know. That was a special effect. When he got hit, yeah, he basically just turned into...
Mist?
Water and mist, yeah. Just kind of completely was vaporized by the semi-truck.
There is something familiar about a person being turned to mist, but I don't remember it being by a truck.
Yeah.
No. Yeah,
no,
I don't know.
No one?
Not a clue.
Okay, that's okay. That happened in Bride of Chucky.
I was thinking Bride of Chucky.
Oh, yeah.
And I vaporized.
Yeah. You totally got vaporized. What else would you call it?
I don't think I ever
splattered.
No, it wasn't splattered.
Hit.
It just kind of like...
And exploded.
You just became a mist of like, you know, person. There was even organs left. There was no splatter involved.
Okay. Here's where you get it wrong. Okay, vaporized. Again, vaporized is a very interesting and a very specific
idea. There are no bits.
Yeah.
There are no pieces. There's no chunks when you're vaporized.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happens.
You get into the Brundlefly machine.
Yeah.
It goes wrong, you know, so you can get vaporized or
this,
you know,
is for the win.
In Watchmen, there was a vaporized.
Yeah, I have a bonus.
But somebody getting splattered.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I was imagining when he said vaporized. Mm. I was imagining Watchmen.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I was thinking Bride of Chucky.
Yeah, because there was a semi-truck who vaporized somebody in Watchmen. All right, so there's a...
Not a semi-truck. I said when you said vaporized.
But
yeah.
Vaporized.
I imagined.
We thought, see, this is, yeah. This
but
is really...
But you know, realize there's more than just one, like, word I use in these questions. Like,
well,
semi-truck
yeah,
is a pretty...
If you were to say splattered by a semi-truck.
But when your mode of death... Vaporization is incorrect.
It's like saying strangled by a semi-truck.
No, it's not incorrect. If you watched it, you thought it was vaporized.
No.
So there's one more.
Rybar, were there parts and
there was
bits
no parts
to him?
Nope. He was totally misted.
He was. I believe it was just a splatter. Splatter. That's what happens when you have lots of blood spraying.
Well, I don't know. I've never seen the movie,
because,
so I don't
see,
know.
Vaporized means something that's being done
well,
in terms of
let's
matter.
Let's let him finish that we can spend the last 10 minutes. Going
yes,
over
I
the
can't
last
take
four
it
movies.
Anymore.
There is a. This is the real life one, okay? And whoever gets
what?
This wins the
real
game.
Real life.
This is a real life death.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, ready? And anyone who answers this gets it right. This person was poisoned, beaten, shot, hanged, and finally drowned.
Oh, it's Oh my god.
Oh wow.
It's historical.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
It's a person. Wow. Anime.
Rasputin.
Really. Oh, anime wins the game. Yeah. Sorry, Rybar. All right. Well, that was
this
fantastic.
Game is horrible.
Although I believe that they say he died of natural causes.
No, he.
I'm joking.
Yes.
I'm not being serious, Dave.
He actually died of drowning. So, what are we going on?
That's
to
natural.
Next?
Yeah, it is natural.
Yes.
Okay. So the last thing that we talked about was its past. So
yeah.
That
vaporized
means that,
by a lake.
That means we move on to 1994. With Stuart Saves His Family.
Oh yes,
Stuart Saves His Family, which
saddest
we actually went into when we actually went into before. It's a movie. It's based actually on Senator Al Franken's book.
I love saying that, Senator Al Franken.
Yeah, it's based on his book, his Stuart Smiley book, and so you know it's not really as much based on SNL and the whole thing behind SNL. It's more of his kind of dark visions of the world and his family and stuff.
Yeah,
totally. I mean, and it's just depressing and sad. And while it has uplifting things, it's still like, oh my god, I
wouldn't recommend this for someone who's interested in comedy. If someone's interested in something that's depressing with comedic moments in there, then it's good.
Yeah,
but
if you like Al Franken, then you know you might get a kick out of it. Like, not a kick out of it. No, you wouldn't actually. But you might enjoy it.
Yeah, I have to say,
this is the Al Franken who I believe wrote When a Man Loves a Woman.
Whoa, eek! You know, I gotta say, you know, it is unique, and it should not be like hated. You know, like Night at Roxbury, it's Pat, because it's a good movie. I mean, Harold Ramis directed it. It's a decent movie.
Up,
yeah,
you know?
This
it's
is the
just,
director of Club Paradise. Harold
Ramis. Well, you know,
not
Ghostbusters is pretty good.
Day. He didn't direct Ghostbusters.
Oh, you're right. Damn, it's Ivan Reitman.
But he did direct that year one.
Yes, this is the year one.
Now I think about
not
it.
Not the Analyze This, Harold Ramis.
Did you do Duplicity?
You know what?
Did you do Duplicity?
You know what? Harold Ramis should just...
You mean Multiplicity.
Multiplicity,
yes.
Thank you.
Harold
What's
Ramis
Duplicity?
Should just stick to being a Ghostbuster.
That's true. Yes,
no, he's made some fine films.
Yes.
But, you know, he's also made some...
Bad.
bad Funker. Films.
Yeah.
Anyway, know. So yeah, so that's Stewart.
He directed Caddyshack, for God's sakes. Oh, and deserves a freaking Oscar for that one.
Very true. Stewart Saves Family. The one entertaining thing though is a young Vincent D'Onofrio with a very strange mustache.
Yes. Very cool.
Really weird. Yes. But yeah. But aside from that, there's
nothing to talk about. Really, yeah. It's sad. It's sort of funny, but in the end,
it's a really dysfunctional family. And it's so it's kind of more disturbing.
Yeah, it's super neutral and it's super different.
Yeah. Okay. So then that was 1995, and then in 1998 came A Night at the Roxbury.
Oh my God, this movie
A Night at the Roxbury was
so
a bad idea for a movie because it's one of those things that was a one-trick pony. They did one thing every skit, and though it was a different girl they were attacking, or maybe a slightly different way they were bouncing her back and forth between them, it was always two guys making weird shaky head movements, trying to get a girl to dance with them, and then essentially finding one and sandwich date raping her on the dance floor.
Yes, which in a way, you know, could have been actually really great, but you know, it just didn't quite work out.
Wasn't this originally a sketch with Jim Carrey?
No, I think so.
They were actually three guys. Jim Carrey was one of them when he left
the really?
Show.
And then I guess they figured the
act was popular enough to just continue with the two of them.
Yeah, it was a bad idea. You know, first and foremost, you get Will Ferrell, who's all about being this big outlandish character, and you make him like the not crazy guy. You make him like the as straight as one of the Batavi brothers could be. Pun intended, I suppose. But, you know, Chris Kattan was definitely the crazy one. And I got to think, you know, other than that, it was just they tried to add characters to guys who had no characters who hardly even talked in the skits. And it did not work out well whatsoever.
Their talking was,
it's just a big
That was all the talking that the sketches had.
Yeah, it's just a big bromance. And, you know, Chance Palminteri Terry's kind of a little funny in it here and there, really, but he only has one joke, you know, did you grab my ass? And other than that, the movie's just plain horrible. I'm not really sure what anyone was thinking making it, but it's not funny at all, and it's just really sad. But not sad like Stewart Saves His Family sad. A nightmare like it's
wait,
Pat. More
get,
just
wait.
Like, wow.
I'm sorry, what, you said Jim Carrey was...
I remember the sketch.
What?
I remember the actual sketch.
And he
was in it.
Yeah, but I think he was in when he was hosting.
He was hosting.
But I don't think it was the first time that they'd ever done it. I think it was one of those where they added.
I think he was one of them.
He was. But they had that with a few people. There were a few different people that came on and got to be kind of like in MacGruber in the sketches. You know, different people, different guests get to be on, and you know, like Betty White was MacGruber's grandma.
But usually, I believe he was actually like one of them.
Yeah,
like
but that was because it was because he can do that head thing with them. But I'm fairly certain that the sketch started before he was on as a host. Like, I think they had already been doing it, and they added him in as one of them because they could.
So, Anime, you said that when we were watching, or rather after we watched Night at the Roxbury, you said that you thought that it was just kind of I shouldn't say ripoff, but it was basically like another sketch from older SNL.
Yeah, the we are two wild and crazy guys. But those guys had personalities. It was more than a one-trick thing.
That was the idea of two guys from another country trying to
be Mac Daddies.
And honestly, that kind of thing might have even made these two characters more interesting if they were from another country. If they were European, you know, like, and that's why they dressed like that and acted like that. Like, and that's the funny thing with the We Are Two Wild and Crazy Guys, but it also wasn't just about them going around going, We Are Two Wild and
it's
Crazy Guys. That was all they did.
That's what I think they just saw people like that in clubs, and they just are impersonating them.
Yeah.
There's really nothing about them.
I would say, you know, Night at the Roxbury did have a few kind of interesting people, though, as doing cameos. Jennifer Coolidge played a cop. Mm-hmm. Michael Clark Duncan played a bouncer. Mm-hmm. Richard Grieco was one of the main characters, as Richard Grieco. Molly Shannon was in it, Chaz Palminteri, and a very young Eva Mendes was at the wedding. And also Colin Quinn and Dan Hedaya. So, you know, it was pretty fun cast there, but it was just
terrible. There was no story. There was bad idea to even make it.
So
okay.
What else we got?
Next up, in a year later, 1999, came Superstar.
This movie, actually, the first 15 minutes is actually pretty funny.
What we learned is that Molly Shannon cannot be held down and probably should just be in a show all by herself.
Yeah, she's
maybe
crazy.
Have somebody come in every once in a while for her to act really weird around. But the best stuff is like her interacting with a tree.
Yeah,
and her interacting with herself in the mirror and it's like you were like rolling on the floor the when first, she was when she was yeah. doing her little thing when she yeah. was just doing the Mary Kath and Gallagher thing. You were like rolling on well, the floor, going, funny. "Oh my god, this is so funny."
Well, part
that
of thing
was 15 whole
you know,
minutes of the first
it.
Beginning.
Well, it's the same. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. We had watched all these in a row, but the first 20 minutes is really funny because she does. And it's not even the falling stuff. It's the
yeah.
you know her whole monologue thing that always yeah. comes off really dirty and really crazy. And when she's making out with the tree and stuff, and,
yeah, and when she's reciting yeah. really awkward parts of movies and made for TV movies.
You know what I have to say though that I thought was really interesting is you know the show Glee. Yeah. I feel like yeah. the Rachel character in Glee is actually a lot like the Mary Catherine Gallagher character. You know the whole sort of like manic needing to be a superstar,
inner kind monologue,
totally crazy inner monologue, like very much like that except not creepy. And I think Molly Shannon has a very interesting thing about her because you know one she actually has good presence, but two she is equally cute and gross all at the same time,
yeah.
which is actually really kind of difficult to pull off. Yeah. So good for her.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's not a great movie, but she's just so funny. She's yeah. the physical comedy she does, the physical comedy and the very vulgar comedy. It's stuff that's usually reserved for male characters,
yeah.
and the fact that she pulls it off so well and makes it so funny. Kristen Wiig is kind of taken over
very
the reins
like
of that.
Gilda
but, yeah, exactly,
yes, exactly,
exactly.
But really, after the first 20 minutes, it sort of loses steam.
It does. Okay.
Ladies, man. Right?
And then, yeah, in 2000, the year later, came Ladies' Man, which is 10 years,
yeah.
10 years until the next movie would come out.
This was almost like just Tim Meadows deserved a movie. You know, he
yeah.
was on SNL so long,
yeah.
and this is his best character. And it's funny. Happens. It's a very adult, you know, oriented, and it has a really funny Will Ferrell role in it as one of the foils. And I think overall, you know, it's fun and it's funny. You know, it's not great, but it's a good time.
They probably could have done more with the Ladies' Man, or they might have been able to. They might have been able to make it a better movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really wanted to, but it wasn't. You're right. It really did feel like Tim Meadows. You deserve a movie, and this is
My
one of your
God,
best characters. So we're
yeah.
giving it to you.
Ladies' Man is really good just because of the fact that compared to a lot of the other SNL movies, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
I would say you know I would say Wayne's World, Coneheads, MacGruber, Wayne's World 2, and Blues Brothers are the best ones. But I think after that, Ladies' Man probably comes in next.
Yeah.
Compared to all the other like not so great ones like Superstar, Night at the Roxbury,
True.
You know, Coneheads, Stuart Saves His Family. Which was good, but like it wasn't really an SNL movie.
Yeah,
you know, it was just completely like sad and all like drama. I was like, wow, this is weird. and yeah, that's I guess that's pretty much it, huh?
Yeah, that's
man, this is our first 3 hour show. It's crazy.
I know. Yeah, we went thanks. Through all these shows.
We, yes. we did an excellent
show
that I
based on 2 hour yes. movies based on 8 minute sketches.
Yes, exactly,
yeah.
exactly. I think I put together a great game. Anime
I
game
think
was
you
okay.
We also
and,
wasted like 40 minutes talking
yes.
about Lost.
Yes,
and
yes.
I call it wasted because I. Freaking hate.
But it was good we got
Lost.
To it because now we never have to talk about it again if we don't want to.
Yeah, but we're going
good
to.
Times. Yes.
I'm sure we'll still be ranting about
yes.
it next
well,
week.
Well, you know, if nothing else, that memory of Byleen and being, you know.
Culturally raped is, by Jack.
You know, it has a place in my heart, really.
Yeah.
And other than that, I don't know. Is that it? Is there any other time left?
No, that's really all the time that we have for this first
wow.
3 hour episode
I'm doing
of Geek
the,
World.
The head nod right now for
Matt
the Rockstar.
Don't make me remember that.
What is love?
Don't forget to tune in next week, same time, same place, for more Geek World.
And
Superstar!
If you want to get in touch with us, don't forget, you can send an email to geekworldradio@yahoo.com. You can check out our website at geekworldradio.com. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/geekworldradio. Darkubus Rybar, thank you again for joining us.
Yes,
and,
thank you very
you're
much.
You're welcome.
And tune in next week, same time, same place. And if you missed any of this show, should be playing tomorrow, same time. So...